want to talk about transformation today and how our lives ought to be transformed. We ought to be changed. Jesus doesn't leave us the same. We're different, and if we're not different, then we haven't changed. If we haven't changed and we've not been redeemed, if we haven't been redeemed, we're not growing in the likeness of Christ who died for us. And so as we begin our thoughts, not only do we want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to remember in Galatians 2 and verse 20 where Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What the apostle is saying is, I've been changed, I'm no longer living for me, I'm living for him. My life is a life in Christ, he gave his life for me, and I'm going to live my life for him. And that's what the verse 18 here in 2 Corinthians 3 is talking about when he says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're being transformed to look more like Jesus in what we do and how we live and how we act. That's a remaking, if you will, of taking the sinful nature of man and by choice submitting unto God and living for him and living like him. And that's a change in the way that we look. We don't need to look like everybody else in the world. Oh, I'm not talking about this physical exterior. Somebody looked at me this morning and said, I see you got a haircut. I said, I got all of them cut. Apparently it's a little transforming from what it is. Some of you can actually see my head now, depending on if you're taller than me or not. I'm kind of changed. But you know, hair grows back, then we cut it off again. We're not talking about cosmetic change, we're talking about deep down change. We're talking about changing the heart and the spirit of people where we are transformed, made in the likeness of Christ, where it's no longer I that live, but Christ who actually lives in me. And so I want to talk about how we go about being transformed. How do you change? Well, there are those people who want physical change, and they are transformed by doing a lot of exercise, by changing their diet. You see, you can't transform if you keep doing the same thing. If we keep eating the same food, we're not going to lose weight. If we don't ever exercise, we're not going to gain muscle. We're not going to be changed. We're going to just be the same, if not deteriorating. So we're talking about transforming our lives into the likeness of Christ. And so as we do that, I want to suggest that transforming in Christ, or the transformation we need, begins with the renewing of your mind, the changing of your mind. The making your mind a whole different brain that works in a different way, that makes your heart and spirit look at the world different from the rest of the world, how they approach things. And I'm immediately reminded of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, where the Apostle Paul said, do not conform to this world. This world's thinking is not going to get you where you need to be, and you're not going to be who you need to be. You're not going to be able to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish if you just keep a worldly mindset. So he said, don't be conformed to this world. I guess the best way I can understand that is don't be in the jello mold of the world. Most of you know what a jello mold is, don't you? You put your jello in there and it kind of fits that shape. And I've never used one, but I think you shake it out or you warm it up or you do something to it and it comes out. Somebody says you can never un-jello jello. I don't know about that. I suspect if you microwaved it, it might change. But he's saying don't be conformed to how this world thinks or looks at things. Be completely transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is good, what is acceptable, and the perfect will of God. In other words, if you want to be transformed, you renew your mind in the image of God, in the image of the divine. To prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God, we need to have God's thinking instead of man's thinking. We need to look beyond ourselves into the needs of others. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We need that kind of giving. We need the kind of loving that 1 Corinthians talks about, where it keeps no records of wrongs, where all those things that humans end up doing, God doesn't do. And so he talks about believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Then we look at our own relationship and the way we feel about God and the way that we feel about one another, the way that we feel about God's created people on this planet. We need to be changed because one of those words that it talks about, the will of God, says the acceptable will of God. We need to be changed where our will is acceptable to God. I don't know if any of you ever had a teacher where you turned in a paper or a project and the teacher said, that's simply not acceptable. I don't know if you've ever been a teacher that got a project that said, this won't do. This isn't what I asked for. This isn't what the assignment was. And you can't turn this in. I won't even accept this project because it's so far from what I want to do. I don't want to meet God on Judgment Day and for Him to look at my life and say, you weren't transformed. This won't do. This is not acceptable to God. I want to meet Him where He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And in order to do that, my mind has to be renewed, refreshed in Christ. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 4. Starting in verse 8, he said, finally, brethren, if you underline in your Bibles, if this isn't already underlined, it should be. If you make list instead, make this list. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, that the God of peace will be with you. Where do we spend our mind? Where do we put our time? What do we think about? Because this is transformational thought here. This is saying, just think about the good things. Put your mind on those lovely things. Whatever things are true. Don't believe a lie or a half-truth. You think on the things that are true. You think on things that are noble. We sometimes waste our brain cells on some of the silliest, foolish things that you could do. Think about the things that we spend our time watching, doing, and playing that really have no point to them. I know if you watch TV and you're on the internet, they say, go to luminosity and train your brain. I've been there. How do you think it worked? I don't know that I'm any more illuminated. I had things going one direction, I had to pick out the one that wasn't. That wasn't too hard. I had to go up or down or around or whatever, which one's a circle, which one's a square. If you want to think on things that have value, think on things of spiritual import. Think on the things that Jesus thought about. Think on things that make a difference in this world. And we follow, I know people who can quote ball scores and teams and brackets and batting averages and how many yards somebody's run. And all of those things are okay, but are those the things that are going to make us better in the sight of God? Whatever things are lovely and of good report. You know, when I look at this list that's given, I'm thought that when we think more like Jesus thought, then we'll be transformed. We'll have a different way of thinking because we've been bought with a price. We've been born again. We ought to have been changed. That's what redemption's all about, being bought and changed. And then look at verse 9. The things which you learned, received, and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's the difference. That's the change. That God is with you. God wants to be with you. Remember Jacob's ladder where he had the dream of the angels going up and down the ladder and he leaves the rock, the stone there, and he builds a monument. He calls the place Bethel because it's where God is. This is the house of God, he says. We need to change our thinking to make sure we're in God's house, not just the church building. I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about being in the church. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, beloved, try or test the spirits, every spirit. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they're of God, because there are many false prophets gone out into the world. So what things are you thinking about? Are they of God or are they not of God? Are they of pseudo-gods or are they of men? Are they of wealth and what we count as being of value in this world? Or have we transformed our thinking into things that everything we think about is good, holy, pure, godly, talking about going to heaven, talking about serving the King, talking about what's good in a person instead of what's bad in a person? Even those who've not been redeemed, are we looking for the good? I was talking to a young family not long ago. They were having problems with their children. One child in particular. And they told me, you know, he's just bad. He's just terrible. We can't do a thing with him. He's 7, by the way. Parents that can't figure out what to do with a 7-year-old are in trouble. They got a long way to go. And so I suggested something that doesn't take a whole lot of brain power. I said, why don't you start looking for something good? And if he ever does anything good, praise him for that good thing. Well, what about all the bad stuff? Well, we want to get rid of the bad stuff, but we got to change his way of thinking. Because the only thing he gets any attention for at all is when he does something bad, y'all react. And when he does something good, it's so sparse you don't ever say anything about it. They said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, if he eats everything on his plate, that's pretty good. If he took off his underwear to take a shower, that's good. I don't care how little it has to be, but you find something good. And that's what we need to do when we look at the world. We don't need to look and say, sinner, awful, terrible, not worthy of the grace of God, because everybody is worthy of the grace of God. And if it were not for the grace of God, you and I would not have the chance to be transformed. And that's the only thing that will transform the whole world. But you see, we have to have a different way of thinking. We have to have a renewal of our mind. But what are we supposed to be changed into? We're supposed to be transformed into a new creation, or a new creature. That means the things that formerly had sway and import in our lives aren't the important things anymore. We're to be made new, and we're to have different direction and different encouragement. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let me go to the physical world for a minute. How many of you, when you were growing up, wanted a bicycle? You get one? Was it one of the most exciting days of your life? You get that bicycle, a brand new one or a brand new refurbished one or whatever it is that you got, and you got a bicycle. And what'd you do? You went out and you rode it, even if it was raining, you rode it in the rain because I got a bicycle. How many of you are riding that bicycle today? It's old. It's not new. We'd rather ride in the car with the air conditioning. Doesn't do much for the body, but it is a lot more comfortable. And we go further and faster. And I guess we could even say, Mark, the car's a little bit nicer. When I'm changed from the creature comforts of this world into understanding the spiritual realms of God, then I'm going to change what's important to me. I don't want a pogo stick or a bicycle. I want a spiritual limousine that leads to heaven. I want everything to be new and fresh because it's a gift of God, not because I earned it, I deserve it, because I didn't earn or deserve anything. And neither did you when it comes to the breath that you breathe or to the blood that pumps in your veins. When we have a new way of thinking and we become a new creature, we'll do things different. The psalmist said this in Psalm 51, in verse 10. David's repentant for his sin with Bathsheba for the murder of Uriah. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Create in me a clean heart. And to be honest with you, I think that's where the new creation has to start, that we have to clean our heart out of the earthly pursuits that we fall after. We have to be changed internally if we want to be changed externally. We have to be made new, and the only way to be renewed or to be made new again is in the blood of Christ. Amen? We have to be transformed, and the only thing that transforms us is the sacrifice that heaven sent. In Ezekiel chapter 18, in verse 31, the prophet says, cast away from you all the transgressions which you've committed, and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Cast away the heart and the spirit that's going to lead to destruction, and get a new heart, a new spirit. I remember the old preacher's joke that talks about the judgment day, and all of creation is before the judgment bar of God and way back in the back, and all of a sudden there's this cheer that begins to roll from the front to the back of all creation, and they get to the back and they say, what is it? What is everybody excited about? And the answer comes back, Sunday night and Wednesday night don't count. A new heart is that says, why would I want to miss Sunday night and Wednesday night? I want to be where God's people are. I want to sing His praises. I want to go with my brothers and sisters in prayer to God. I want to show the world who I believe and whose I am. And it's not, what do I have to do? As a preacher, I've heard, do I have to come on Wednesday night? Do I have to come on Sunday night? How much do I have to give? Is that a new heart or an old heart kind of question? Jesus gave it all. He gave His life. He left heaven in the first place. Paul said this in the Colossian letter, the third chapter, verse 10, and he talks about that you put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. And I have to ask, have you made that transformation where you've put on this new man? Because the way it is renewed, the way it is kept fresh, is according to the knowledge of who He was, the image of Him, who He was, not physically, but what did He do with His life? And so when we talk about transformed into His image, what does that mean? Does it mean that I wear sandals and grow a beard? Do I look like a Renaissance picture of Jesus? Every time I think about pictures of Jesus, I think about the little boy in Sunday school. And they were doing their color sheets, and they did the picture of some picture, and there was a picture of Jesus in there, and the little boy was so proud of the color picture that he did, and the Sunday school teacher felt like this was a good point to say, you know, we really don't have pictures of Jesus. We don't know what Jesus really looked like. There were no photographs of him, and this is an artist's rendition of what they think Jesus might have looked like, and do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? And the little boy looks up at the teacher, and he says, well, I guess so, but it really does look like him, doesn't it? I want to look like him, not in my picture, but in my life. I want to be like him. I want to have the compassion that he had for the masses when he saw that they looked like sheep without a shepherd. I want to have the compassion that he had when his friend Lazarus died. I want to have the longing to teach the gospel the way that he wanted to present the kingdom of God. I want to be transformed into his image. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, the text says, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Have you ever tried to lose weight and look in the mirror every day and see if you can tell a change? Rather disheartening, isn't it? We can't see the incremental changes sometimes. And our humanness gets in the way of our spiritual transformation, and we can change that. We need to change that to be like him. But I want to be, and I want you to be, where we're being changed. The song, we used to sing this as a devotional song. Little by little in every way, little by little every day, he's changing me. And I want that to happen for everyone in this building. I want it to happen for all of God's people around the world. That when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We've accomplished when Jesus comes back that we have shown him to the world. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, Luke records these words when he says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And I wonder if that's the description the world's going to say when they look at us. That person's been with Jesus. You can tell his life or her life is different because they're not like everybody else. They've been transformed in the way that they view the world and the way they interact with the world. Well, a final thought. I want to be transformed for eternity. I don't want to be changed for a little while. Years ago, I joined Weight Watchers. I became a lifelong member, but I hadn't kept it up. I joined a gym to tone up. It didn't last. And I know what you're thinking, Keith. If you would work better on that, you would have kept the weight off. And if you had kept going to the gym, you would be in better shape. And you're right. But those are all physical. I want to be transformed for eternity, like Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality, so that when this corruptible is put on incorruption, this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You see, I want to be changed where I never have to cry again, where all the bad things, the former things of this life have passed away. I want to be changed where there'll never be another bad day or an endless night. I want to be transformed to be like him, and I want you to be transformed as well into his likeness. And you know, the real underlying point of all of this is God wants you to be transformed. And he's done everything that he can to make sure that you have a life that ends up where when you're changed, incorruptible, and immortal, that you can be like him and you can be with him. And it takes that initial time where you decide you want to be a Christian by obeying the gospel. And as a believer, repenting of sins, confessing his name, and being born again, baptized into Christ, raised to walk in newness of life, being faithful. If you fall away, come back home. There's not one person that God wants lost or separated from him. God's not willing that any should perish. Have you been transformed? And if you have been transformed, have you fallen back into the image of the world? Because the message that I share with you is the message of Christ, and it is a transforming message. It should change you. If there's something we can do in a public way to assist you in being baptized or to assist you in prayer, or if you need to talk with us privately, you can let us know. But right now, if we can help you, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?